Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. I'm Elizabeth, and I think we've got Walter on the other line. Hello, Walter.
Hey there,
how are you today?
I'm getting better and better. Thanks.
Yeah, there's your voice. I thought maybe I had this vibe. I'm like, I bet he feels better today. The sun's out there in California, right?
Oh, you bet. Uh-huh.
Yeah, is it warmer than here?
Oh, yeah. I think it's like this is a good week. We're looking at a high 70s. It's nice to be in L.A. this time of year.
Yeah, I look outside and it's this brilliant blue sky, not a cloud in the sky, beautifully sunny. It's very much like Tahoe, right? You know, trees everywhere, snow, all this stuff, except you walk out my door and it's like, you know, 70 below or whatever it really is. But the wind chill is like so freezing. And a couple of our schools here didn't have school today because of the heating issues in the schools and stuff like that. But my kids were troopers. They had to go. But, oh, cold, 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 cold. But we're going to warm up because we have got Patty Farmer with us. And Patty is multi-award-winning marketing and social media strategist. And we call her the networking CEO. You can find her on Twitter under Networking CEO, and her name's Patty Farmer. Her website is pattyfarmer.com. She's an international speaker, author, trainer, radio host, all sorts of things, best-selling author, actually. And she's got a network, Walter, get this, of 100,000 people, and she's done that networking herself while also teaching entrepreneurs and coaches and speakers and authors how to build their audience, too. Isn't that cool?
That's unbelievable. That's amazing. Yeah. That's not easy to do, but I guess she's going to tell us some tricks to that, I suppose.
Yeah, I want to know more about how she does all this. So, and you know, we've got an audience as well. But you know, I always think there's room to grow, and I love listening to what other people do because you know none of us know it all.
Yeah, that's what I love about co-hosting this show is that, you know, I'm learning so much. I'm meeting so many great people, learning so many things about the arts, sciences, business. It's unbelievable. This is a great bit to learn and to connect with people.
So how are you, Patty? Are you warmer than I am? I hope you're not. Where are you right
now? I'm in Dallas, so I'm a little warmer than you, but I have to tell you because L.A. has sounded pretty good, but I'll be there next week, so...
Oh, how nice. So, tell us what you're working on.
Oh, well, actually, I haven't told anybody else yet. Okay, so here's groundbreaking news. I'll be in L.A. next week. I'm going to be going there to do a screen test for a TV show.
Fantastic.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to go for sure. I'm just screen testing it, so we'll see how that goes, but I'm actually very, very excited.
Wow, that's really cool. Okay, well, maybe we can just kind of get into it. Maybe you can start by telling us, we were talking about building lists and stuff. I don't know if you want to start there, but maybe you could tell us maybe some of the tricks or how entrepreneurs and business people can start building their networks.
Oh, that's a good one. Very good question. And I think it really is important to really be thinking from that perspective. A lot of times we're hearing all the time right now, right? We're hearing about it's all about building relationships, which it is, right? And it's all about building community and engagement. But I'm a strategist, and so for me, it doesn't really matter how to do something until we know why we should do it. So the number one thing I like to tell everybody is you really need to have some strategy here. You need to network with some strategy, and you need to list build with strategy as well. So every single thing you're doing, no matter what it is, you need to ask yourself, is there a way here for me to grow my community and a way here for me to grow my list? Because if it takes a village to raise a child, believe me, it takes a tribe to build a business. So thinking in those ways can really help you to grow your business. So there's a lot of different ways to be able to do it, and it all really depends upon your business and how much are you spending your time online or offline, really can make a little bit of a difference in which choices you make But it's really important to be doing it in both, right? Move your online community offline and vice versa. So I think it's really important to be able to do both of those, because in today's economy, right now in our business environment, it is really, really important to know that word of mouth is just as important as word of mouth.
Good.
I like that. Word of mouth, M-O-U-S-E, and word of mouth. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Hey, got to do the click, right?
Yeah. I like that. Word of mouth. Say that one more time. Word of mouth is just as important as word of mouth.
Because we've all heard how important word of mouth is, but we're so much online now, word of mouth is very, very important too.
That's cute. I'm quoting on that later. I really like that. That's, and it's so true. And I, do you think it just takes one? I've got this kind of theory that you know, if you have a bad experience in online or a bad experience in person, that one person or two people or whatever it is, it trickles, I think. Do you think you have to be careful of what you're doing online and in person? Is it equal? Because, you know, a lot of us are used to, like, customer service experiences and things like that. And I think you can have those same bad experiences online.
I actually think that sometimes we have more. And I think the reason is because people don't understand online etiquette. So I like to tell people all the time, you shouldn't do anything online that you wouldn't do in person. So think about some of the things that people do. We'll just use Facebook as an example. You know, how they'll hijack somebody's thread. Somebody will be talking about one thing, and people will just come right in on that thread and try to sell something. I mean, there's a lot of different things that people do. And I'd like to say that I don't think they really realize sometimes what they're doing, because the bottom line really is, if you were at a networking event, you wouldn't just walk into somebody, well, you'd like to think you wouldn't anyway, walk into somebody's conversation and say, oh, I see that you're having a conversation, but it's all about me and I want to try to sell you something, so I'm going to change that conversation. But you see it all day, every day on social media. And I think it's because they don't realize that there really is social etiquette as well.
Yeah. You know, when you're trying to build a list, I think one of your points is list building is a critical kind of step in the or foundation, because from there you can market and monetize and stuff. But how do you really get some big numbers going?
Well, so here's the first thing that I actually really want to say about that I think is really important to realize. I don't think people get it. So think about this for a second. So just imagine that if you had all your Facebook friends and your fans, all your Twitter followers, every LinkedIn connection, and every person that you had in your Google Plus circle, and if all of those people were on your email list, how would that change your bottom line? Because really, honestly, when you think about it, Google, they can tank your search engine rankings. Facebook and Twitter, they can suspend your account. No one can take away your email list. So that's why, in reality, the money is and always will be in building a good responsive list. So it really isn't about the number. I've had private clients that had a list of 2,500 that we've taken to six figures. I've had clients, you know, that had 60,000 people on their list. So it really isn't about the number. It's having a good responsive list and a quality list. So that's really what it's really about, is that engagement and building a community, not just a number. So everybody isn't really a number. You want to think of them as a fan and a raving fan. So think about, we'll use Apple as an example. When they come out with a new product, people are wrapped around the building. They don't even know what it is yet, right? They just want it. So what you really want is to create a community of raving fans that every time you launch something new, they just want to be all about that because you're doing it.
And I think with some of the things that we're talking about, to us it might sound easy because we've got some type of online presence. But for somebody new just starting out, what I'm hoping we could do is back us up just a tiny bit and just even explain what an email list is. Because I think a lot of us, and I know I'm like this, I am not a big fan of getting people's junk in my email. I really am not. To get me to subscribe to your list on your website is like an act of God. or whatever. You know, it is hard to get me to subscribe to the list. I've got to really want to hear what you're offering me on a regular basis.
Oh, and
to
you
get
just,
your emails.
And you just said the most important thing. You said the most important thing right there, which is appropriate. It is so important that when you're list building, that you only send somebody something that's appropriate for them. And that is the big mistake that everybody makes and why they have really high unsubscribe lists or people don't want to subscribe at all. So really the key, the critical key to whether you will have success or massive success is in learning how to segment. That is the key. And there's a couple other things too. So if you'll bear with me, I can actually share a few of those and some of the best ways to grow your list too. But with that said, it's really time to evolve past click-through rates. People are like, oh, all I care about is I have people on my list and then I have really great click-through rates or really great numbers. But that's not really what's so important now. What's really important is that you want to make sure that you're measuring engagement. That's what's really important. So what you want to pay attention to is where did those prospects go when they went to your website. So a lot of times, you know, in an email, somebody will send you to a blog. Where did they go on the website? What was the number and the frequency of the visit? What was the social sharing? So when you're looking at those things, when you're segmenting, it's who opened the email. Did they download the offer? What was the length of time they spent on the website? And what did they download while they were there? So having a really good idea of the different segments you have will really be able to make you to customize the things you offer and the engagement that you do with your list so that they are always getting value and they want to be on your list because of the things that you're giving them are always appropriate for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Walter, I have a question for both of you, though. Walter and Patty, what does it take for you to subscribe to somebody's email list?
I think it's what Patty said is appropriate. I'm going to engage if there's something that piques my interest. If there's information there that I want that applies to what my interests are. So if you can show me that there's something that I want, some knowledge, information, that's power, and I'm going to want to be part of that. How about you, Patty?
I think that for me, it is all about the value that they bring. And not only that, and it's also a ratio for me. I want to know the ratio. I understand I'm a speaker. We're all in sales. It doesn't matter, right? We're all in sales. I don't mind if somebody wants to invite me to something as long as they're inviting me to participate in something that I've ever shown an interest in. Otherwise, really, you're just talking to, you know, the masses. So I really want you to zone in into what I'm interested in. So I find that the people who I subscribe to, I really care about getting that information because I find it valuable. But with that said, I want to say one other thing. People subscribe to your list for many reasons, and that is one of the things that people don't understand. Sometimes people, and think about when you have subscribed, sometimes people will subscribe to your email list because they love the process of what you're doing. So they may like the value, but I have subscribed to many people who really weren't in an industry that I was interested. However, I loved the process. I loved the way they did their autoresponders. I loved the way it was set up. I love the way they did their copy, so their process was good. That's why a lot of times people sign up for webinars, that's why they sign up for your email list, because they love your process, and so they want to see how you do that. So you need to know that some of those people are there for that reason, and so you take that into consideration when you're looking at your tracking and your measuring, because we all know that numbers are sexy, right? So numbers are sexy, but you really need to know what's a true number and what isn't a true number.
Hey, you know, in terms of you've mentioned this a few times about tracking and seeing how much time they're engaged and what they're downloading or not. I mean, how do you do this? Is this where cloud comes in or what? How do you do this? How do you get these numbers, these statistics?
Well, Google Analytics will do a lot of it for you.
Uh-huh.
You can just set that up on social media. You know, there's a lot of social media tools. A lot of times people will say, oh, really, there's no ROI on social media. There is. It's just not as easily seen, right? But it's all, again, in the results, so it's all in your tracking. And so that's important. And so I think the first thing that people need to do is to have Google Analytics. That's for sure something they'd want to make sure that they have on their site. That would be the first thing for somebody who's really not into that. They need to want to make sure they do that. And then there's other ways that you're building your email list in your segmenting that will do it for you. And when we talk about how to build your list, I'm more than willing to share some of the ways I do that. I can actually tell you as I'm talking about them how that would do that in that way there. So that way you can see that it's appropriate to the thing that I'm sharing. I think will probably make more sense to your listeners.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. And I think to those, I still think we're going to lose a few people who are listening who are just kind of starting out trying to figure out how to put their website together and get their message out there. And really what we're talking about visually is when you land on somebody's website, very often, like mine's at the bottom, Patty's is kind of in the middle. Walter, I can't remember where yours is. I'm sorry. I don't have your website pulled up right now. But you can subscribe to people's, like a newsletter or a free gift offer or whatever. But it's a place on a website where you enter in your email and the person on the receiving end, like Patty or me or Walter or whomever, collects your email. They put it in a database. And they have your email. And no, they're not going to sell your email and their list to somebody else. Nobody else can come in and use their list to email you for other offers or anything like that. It's that owner. So that owner has your email in their database. And for example, what I use my list for, and I've got a fairly large list. I mail out a monthly newsletter, and it'll have. The shows, or I might email a free gift or a free audio or a blog or whatever, but I've got kind of a newsletter that'll show up on a mobile phone. And but
that's
a lot
important.
Of people use it one way or the other. They've got either, and sometimes both, but like a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, or a free gift or a free offer, but usually something in exchange for, quote, collecting your email. And you being able to use your email moving forward. And then when you get an email from like Patty or me or Walter, at the bottom of the email, and most people either use MailChimp or Constant Contact, there might be others that Patty can talk about in a minute here, but when you use either of those formats and you get this email in your email, you know, newsletter or whatever, you can always unsubscribe to the list, but in reality what the person who you gave your email to, they want you to hang on and stay a fan and stay on their list and so forth, because it's kind of a bad feeling when you get an unsubscribe, isn't it, Patty? You're just like, oh, man, why'd they do that? Or what did I type wrong? Or it's interesting, isn't it, the world of email
stuff. No, I love it.
Stuff.
I
do
love
you?
It. I love when people unsubscribe.
What do you
I'm
mean?
I'm being sarcastic. I really do. The reason why I do is because one of the things that I don't think people realize, and this is kind of a mind shift, is that you always want to have permission, right, before you put somebody on your email list. And when you use the opt-in, that's what you're talking about right there, sometimes behind the scenes it's called an ethical bribe. That's what that's called, right? Is what can I ethically offer you that you are willing to exchange your email for the thing that you want, so whether it's a report or some type of download, like you said, there's many different things. However, whether you're using Constant Contact, MailChimp, AWeber, whatever the situation is, whatever works for you, whichever one you're using, the way you pay, like you pay them, right, for having that, and the way you pay is tiered by how many people you have on that list. So if somebody in actuality isn't interested in what I am giving them, I would rather they unsubscribe because I'm paying to have them on my list.
Yeah, I pay quite
so
a bit of money per month for MailChimp.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I do too. I pay quite a bit of money on MailChimp per month to maintain my list and mail out that newsletter or whatever. So it's not like on my end I'm not caring about that at all. But when you get an unsubscribe, though, do you approach them or do you just let it go?
Oh, I totally let it go. And as a matter of fact, I put my unsubscribe information clearly at the very top. And I think one of the things that's really important to do is to put your disclaimer at the top. One of the things that literally is my pet peeve, we all have a pet peeve, but one of the things that's my pet peeve is when people put their unsubscribe at the very bottom. They put it really teeny font, and then they make the color of it really light, so I have to really, really work hard to find it. That just makes you look like you have something to hide. For me, I put mine at the very top, and I have a disclaimer next to it that says, I want to honor you by always providing value for you and giving you information. If this is information that you do not want, please feel free to unsubscribe right here.
Wow, that's really great. That's a great tip. Are there mistakes that common mistakes that, people make when they're setting up an online business that maybe you can help them with?
So online meaning they're going to have an opt-in. I think that one of the mistakes that people, the biggest mistake I would say, that people make is by not asking permission, right? It's so very, very important to make sure that you ask permission, not just because it's against the CAN-SPAM law if you don't, but I think it sets you apart because if you ask people, if you have a conversation with people about email lists, the number one thing they're going to complain about is the people who add them to their email list that they didn't want to be on, right? So that's like the thing that people complain about the most. So just asking somebody for permission to put them on your list or inviting them, you know, to do a gift or whatever, then they are choosing, right? And people really like that. So I think the biggest mistake is when people take, for example, here's a perfect example, is if you're ever at any type of event, whether it's networking, Christmas party, whatever, and you exchange business cards, a lot of people think that it is an implied consent that if you exchange business cards with somebody, that it's okay to add them to your email list. And nothing
you know
can be
what,
further
Patty?
From the truth.
Oh, my gosh, that is so interesting. When my book came out, I did a pretty large event here in Saco, Maine, and I still have this pile, as you said, that I'm glancing to the left of my computer at this pile of a stack of like 250 business cards, and I have yet to enter any of them into my email database because you're right, it was never I did not take a business card and say, oh, do you mind if I add you to my email list? Let me give you my newsletter. And I thought about that when I got home, and I'm like, you know, that would be so incredibly rude to do that. And so I didn't do it. They're all just sort of sitting here, and one by one I send an email and just say, hey, how are you kind of thing. I met you here. How are you doing? But I haven't asked anybody to subscribe or anything like that. And, you're right. There's etiquette, isn't there? For sure.
There absolutely is. And I could give you a couple tips on just that. That'll probably be worth me being on the show just for that.
Please do.
So here's some of the things that we need to know. There's a way to transition people so that they want to be on your list. And that starts with asking the right questions right up front. So let me ask you this, though. How much do you love when you meet somebody and the very first thing out of their mouth is the dreaded question, right? So what do you do? Don't you just love that question?
Yeah.
I know you're. It's I can
awkward.
Tell them because you're not saying
what do you do?
Right. We don't really love that question. I actually hate that question, mostly because I think that when somebody gets asked that question, we will automatically open our mouth, we'll start talking, and then when we don't know what to say, we revert to sales because that's the only thing we know how to do at that point. What I'm saying is if you could change the question and start the conversation, because really building a relationship with somebody is really all about continuing the conversation. That's the goal. Continuing the conversation. And so that starts with starting the conversation. So I always start my conversations when I'm at any type of event or like anytime I'm meeting somebody for the first time, I really find that if I ask really good questions, I get really good answers and it'll tell me things that I want to know because it's just as important to know when not to continue the conversation as it is to know when to continue the conversation, right? So I have a couple questions. This is how I built my business. It's pretty much why I'm called the networking CEO as well, and that I can give you. So if you'd like, I could give you some of the top questions and what the responses are. How do you feel about that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so instead of asking that question, the number one question that I ask is instead of, so what do you do? Instead I ask, who do you serve? Because now it's not about them. Now it's about the people that they serve. So this question tells you a couple things. first thing it tells you, if they don't have an answer, well, that kind of tells you something right there, right? Enough said. If they do have an answer and they start telling you who they serve and you're listening to them, you should find in their answer, are there some of them that you serve as well? So now you have a common ground of where to take the conversation. You're like, oh, wow, I serve them too. And that can change the whole dynamic of that conversation of where you go. Let's say, for example, they tell you who they serve and you really don't serve any of them. So now there's always the possibility of, wow, I never thought of that. Could you possibly serve some of them? But if not, then your answer really to yourself should be thinking, is there somebody in my network? This is an opportunity for me to serve them. Is there somebody in my network who maybe needs to meet them because of who they serve, because they serve them too? Or is this an opportunity for an introduction or an opportunity for a referral? So that one question, I'm going to let you know, should you stay in the conversation? Is it an opportunity for a referral or an introduction? Or is this somebody I want to continue the conversation with because we may have some synergy together? So that's all of that with one question. So that's the first question. Now, realizing you don't always control the conversation, right? But here is how you will always try to end the conversation. This is always the last thing I say to somebody. So now we're having a conversation, and how they answer that question, a lot of times we will keep going in the conversation after that. The second question I try to ask somewhere in there that I want to know. So these three questions that I'm going to tell you are all I need to know about somebody. If they just answer these three things for me, that's all I need to know. And the second question I ask them is, and this is how I get permission as well, or transition to asking for permission, is that I will tell them, I know a lot of people, and if I was going to tell them about you, what would you want me to tell them? And the reason why that question is so good is because when you tell somebody that you're going to tell other people about them, we're going to cut to the chase now. Now they're going to tell me their best stuff, right? Here's where they show up. Here's the value they bring to the table. And in reality, isn't that what you want to know? You know, what's your value? What value do you bring to the table? So when I ask them that question, what they tell me right then and there lets me know what I need to know. And so if they tell me how I transition them to giving me permission at that point, as I say, you know, as I said, I know a lot of people. So in the future, if myself or somebody I know, I would really love to be able to stay in contact with you. So I have your permission to stay in contact with you and to add you to my list because there's a lot of value that I give. I'm just talking about right now, but I think might be valuable to you. Do I have your permission? And they're like, usually 80% of the time, I'll say, oh my gosh, you're the first person that's ever asked me for permission, right? You stand out right there, and they will always either say yes or no. Very few times do they say no, but now you have their permission. So then we may have a conversation. It may end there. It may go forward. But here's the last question that I always like to do. So this is going to require you to kind of have a visual in your mind. So think about your business card. So think about your business card that's in front of you and realizing it will be different for everybody. So for me, when I look at my business card, the top right corner is Twitter. The bottom right corner is Facebook. The bottom left corner is LinkedIn. And the top left corner is Google+. Now, for you, that could be Pinterest, Instagram, whatever, just however you do your business. So when I am exchanging business cards with somebody, the last thing I say to them, now realizing that some people love text, some people like email, some people like getting on the phone, we all have a preferred method, right? When we're talking about social media, everybody has a preferred place of where they are too, right? So for me, people say to me all the time, oh, Patty, we're Facebook friends. But in reality, 74% of my closed business comes from Twitter. So that's really where I am. Even though most people will say, oh, we're really connected on Facebook, Twitter is where I have built my business. So now when I have this conversation and we exchange business cards, here's what I say. So here's the last question I wind up. I say, so what's your favorite social media hangout? Where do you hang out? What's your favorite platform? And then I listen for their answer. So if they say, oh, I love Facebook or I love Twitter, there's no sense connecting to everybody on every single social media platform instead of just asking them where do they spend their time. So if they say Twitter, And when they walk away, I take my the business card they gave me, and I bend the top right corner. If they say Facebook, I bend the bottom right corner. So when I go home with my business cards, I know exactly what my call to action is. My call to action is just to look at the business card, and from the corner that's bent, I know exactly where I need to connect with them.
Wow. This is fantastic information. This is unbelievable. The thing I really like about all of this is that you're gathering all this information, you're getting permission, but you're also being of service to these people. You really are saying to them, you know, I'm not just in this for me. I want to help you. I know a lot of people who need help. You've got something to offer. I'm going to help you. It's not just about gimme, gimme, gimme. And I think when you present that way, people want to just naturally cooperate because they think that, oh, this person's not just in for herself. She's going to bring me along for the ride, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And usually then they'll ask that same question too. You know, where you hang out, that sometimes is a conversation. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, they hadn't really thought of it. But we all have time restraints. We're all really busy. Why try to be with everybody, right? But here's the other thing that's really good about it. So now you have this stack of business cards. So think about that stack, Elizabeth, you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. It's right there on your desk. Imagine if you were picking up that stack right now and that stack all had bent corners on it. How much easier would it be for you to just pick up that right now and get on social media and know exactly where to go to connect with everybody?
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah, the stack, it's definitely here, and that would be a lot easier, I'll tell you that. I'm just kind of poking through it because I really didn't feel comfortable putting everybody on a list. I mean, it would have been really easy to come home and throw everybody on a list and email everybody all at once, and I was like, that is just so wrong to do.
Well, here's the next step. So the next step to that is if you do have that freebie we were talking about, whether it's the report or the whatever the download is, that opt-in, here's the thing that people don't do. Here's the biggest thing that you can do that's the easiest, the most inexpensive, and the most productive. Here's what most people do. We have a business card, and we want to drive them to our website. It has our website on it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't put your website on your business card. Absolutely, you should. But what a lot of people are doing, and I know this on my radio show, when I'll say to somebody, so how would you like my audience to connect with you, right? And they'll say this statement, which pretty much says everything. They'll say, oh, go to my website, and on my website you'll see all of my social media buttons right there. So basically what that tells me is that they're using their website to drive people to their social media. In reality, you should be using social media to drive everybody to your website, right? So they're getting that backwards right there. So with that said, when you're thinking about it, whatever your opt-in is, it should have its own domain name, whatever that is, right? So for me, six-figure follow-up, connections to cash, whatever that is. So you should have a catchy domain name that is just for your opt-in, and then you should put that on your business card. So that way when you're talking to somebody and you're giving value, you can say, oh, you could go right here if they ask you, they look at it. People always love to go look at that. Or you can put it on the back of your business card, good real estate right there, tell them the value you're going to bring, and then give them the domain name right there, the URL that they would go, and they would opt in right there to get the freebie. Now your business card just became a gift card. We don't like the throwaway.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. Your business card became a gift card. You've got a couple of really, you've got a lot of great information and some quotable things here. So this will be fun after we get off the show to throw some tweets out there and some Facebook messages and direct people to your website and so forth. And I have Dr. Walter, earlier I said I didn't have your website up. I've got it up here now. Patty, I've got yours up, and I've also got Best Ever Use up. And I wanted to compare the opt-in to get your feedback on what you think we should do, or if we're doing this right or wrong. I don't know that there is a wrong, or give people ideas. So, Walter, on yours, yours is in the middle, kind of at the top, and it says, subscribe to my newsletter and receive a free download of your best-selling book, Forgive to Win, which is really cool. That means I can put my name and email in here, and I will get an e-book of your book.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you, at the bottom here, let me see on the bottom of yours. Okay, so that's what you've got. Patty, yours is need a bit boost to your business, name, email, apply for a free business breakthrough session, and also receive the perfect fit, how to choose a coach checklist. And I like this, we respect your email privacy. Mine is at the very bottom in the footer, and I've got it in a couple other places actually on mine. And I've got a bunch of different downloads. I've got 4 free gifts. When you give me your email, I'll give you a bunch of different gifts. I've got 3 or 4 ways to collect emails on besteveryou.com. One is the newsletter, and then I've got, I think, 4 opt-ins. And that's just because I've got different audiences. I think there's value in all of these different ways. I think it's everybody has done a really great job of giving somebody something for giving their email out. Like, these are actually things that I would give my email out to. Do you agree?
Okay. So, I'm on the hot seat now. That's good. Okay, so first of all, there's a couple things I have to say.
Sorry.
There you go. First of all, I want to say that there's real estate in where you put your opt-in on your website. So the primo spot, I don't even do it myself, but the primo spot is in the top left. Now, of course, everybody has an opinion about this, but this is statistically, right? And the reason why is because we read left to right. So the most prime piece of real estate we have is in the top left. Okay, now, mine is in the top right, and the reason why is because I want to give them value first when they go left to right, and then the second. I would say that probably the place you should be putting it is on the bottom below the fold, because now you have to scroll down to get it. So that's what I would say as far as that. The second thing is I try to get away from the word newsletter. I think that people are so used to people just adding them to their list that the word newsletter is kind of they hear that word, and as soon as they hear that word, they're automatically like, oh, yes, you just want me to get on your newsletter list, right? So I think there's other words that you can use, like just tell them the value that you're going to bring. And when you tell them the value you're going to bring, then you can say, and become a part of my community or my e-zine, something that lets them know that. But start with a value statement first before you say the word newsletter.
Awesome.
Yeah,
but there's one thing I do want to say that you did that I really love, that I think is really important to note, is that in the old days, so to speak, people came to your website through your URL, right? If you wanted to go to somebody's website, you got their website name and you typed it in and you went to their website. But now that's not always true. Now a lot of times people come to your website through your blog, they come to your website through some type of offer they may have seen, they come to your website through some type of launch that you're promoting, and it'll take them to a different page on your website. So I think it is really important and very profitable and productive if you have different things in different places on your website, because they could go to your blog and never go to your homepage. So if your opt-in is only on your homepage, you've lost a really big opportunity. So you should always have something on your blog page. You should always have it on the page wherever your social media is. Those are really good, important, prime pieces of real estate to be putting off.
Hey, I just want to say something to the listeners. If folks out there are really serious about networking and building and marketing and becoming very successful, you should be downloading this episode and listen to it, take notes and listen to it several times. This is unbelievable information. I mean, I've gotten books, I've downloaded all sorts of stuff about, you know, the tricks and the wisdom of succeeding. And Pat, I've never heard this kind of stuff, so tight, so really strong information. And one other thing I wanted to mention here, though, is in your website, you talk about actively listening. This is something in psychiatry and psychology that we tell people to do when they're trying to communicate with their loved ones, and to actively listen so you really know what's going on. And you talk about actively listening when you're kind of communicating and building relationships, right?
Absolutely, because in reality, the only difference between a contact and a contract is an R, and the R stands for relationship. And so in our environment right now, that's the currency we have, right? Our relationships. And there is a difference when you're actively listening or if you're just waiting for them to pause so that you can talk, right? So, and how many times have you been having a conversation with somebody and you can clearly tell that they're just foaming at the mouth, so to speak, to wait for you to stop talking so that they can talk? They're not listening. They're just waiting to talk. There's a big difference in those, and the results will be totally different as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. It's hard to respond. It's hard to want to talk after you just said that. It needs like a moment
funny.
Of silence.
That
out of respect.
Is so funny.
I have a thing. We've got a guy on Twitter here, is a good friend of mine. His name is Bill Schaefer, and it's his birthday today. And I promised we would all not sing, but just say happy birthday. So we can sing, but I'm good without it. Bill, happy birthday. It's been a fun long time with you on Twitter, and thank you. So anyway, Bill Schaefer.
Happy birthday,
he's Bill 1195.
Yeah, happy birthday,
on
Bill.
Twitter. Happy birthday. So that was our moment of silence and fun and segue, because we've only got 20 minutes left to talk with you. Do you have 20 minutes more? Are you good with that?
Sure.
I haven't even told you
all the great ways to build your list yet. So.
Yeah, I thought we would go into that because I heard you say that earlier. And I do want to remind people that we're on the Best Ever You show, and we're here with Patty Farmer. Patty's website is pattyfarmer.com, and she is on Twitter at networkingCEO. So at networkingCEO. I know a lot of our listeners are still just getting on Twitter. We love it when you are new on Twitter. We love to send people your way. Walter on Twitter is at WalterDoc. Yeah, it's awesome. Walter Doc. I am at Best Ever You, and Patty is at Networking CEO, and we'd love to see you on Twitter because it's a blast. And aside from Twitter and social media, though, we've been talking about email lists today. And again, email lists are when you go onto somebody's website or app or whatever, and you give your email in exchange for something, and that something can be a variety of things. We've determined that. But Patty, how do you go about getting, without being obnoxious and demanding, how to get people onto your list or build that list? Does it have to be such a dreaded process? I know people are like, it's like the number one thing people don't love to do, I think. That and public speech.
It is.
It's up there.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I think it really, again, it's all about providing that value, right? People love value. And so there's a lot of different ways you could do that. For example, one of the ways that I offer value to my list and continuing value, right, is that I let my list know once I'm welcoming them to my community, right, because I don't think of them as my list, right? So what's your list? And here's one of the things I'm going to tell you is if your tribe is your list, right? However, if you build your list on service and value, it won't just be your list. It won't just be your bank account. It will be your retirement account if you do it correctly. So it's really, really important to know that. And so one of the things that I give to my list all the time and my community is I let them know that it's not just a one-time thing. They don't just get the thing they opt in. I try to give them lots of value. And so one of the things that I do is that I let them know that I am going to give them exclusive content. So when I do new things or when I'm having a launch or stuff like that, they always get to come in to things either free. So that's always a good way to be able to be tweaking all your new offers and your new programs that you're doing, right? That's one way to do it. But I always, always, always give them things that are exclusively to them. And I don't know if you've ever received this. This may make you think of something that you have. But, you know, have you ever got an email where they said, here's something that you can download and you don't have to opt in to get it? Now, first of all, they're already on your list anyway, right? But they don't have to opt in to get it. So I let them know that they are always going to be able to get exclusive content from me ongoingly, future content. And so they want to stay because they want that exclusive content. So that is just something that I do to reward them and thank them for their loyalty. all the time. I'm not a one-stop shop, right? I don't want you to just think that I'm in it for the money. I really care about them, and I truly want to serve them. So I think that they know that. So I think that it's really, really important to be able to do that. So whether that is giving them, a lot of times one of the things that I give them is when you're launching new products or new services, a lot of times we put away the other things, right? So it's a good opportunity to be able to give them to them, right? You're getting ready to take them off the shelf. Maybe they have never purchased that product, and to be able to offer it to them free, you're getting ready to take it down. It's a good opportunity to be able to thank them and give it to them.
Patty, for some people that might be real cut and dry, like I'm a pizza place and here's a free coupon for free pizza on Friday night or whatever because you're on our list, something very tangible. Now, let's go to a lot of our community is made up of authors, athletes, trainers, life coaches, that type of thing. People kind of
that's
in the business of
too.
Helping others succeed. Yeah, exactly. So what are things that you can, when you say like launch a new product or launch a new service, my brain is going, well, what would that look like for an author? What would that look like for a coach, for a therapist?
Well, a lot
or,
of times you may have.
What does that mean?
Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. So I'll have a webinar that I'm doing, right, a webinar series or a video series or something that I have. And now I'm coming out with a new one. And so a lot of times the one that I already have, one that I've been charging for even, now I will offer it to my list for free. I just give it to them. And it's really good because when you offer it to them for free and they can go to it for free, you get to stay on there. The value of that was, you were selling that for $997 or, $500 or whatever the case may be. It has a value and you're giving it to them for free. And so that I think that's really kind of important. As a coach, it's very, very easy to do that. Sometimes I have been known to, probably about twice a year, one of the things I do is I will send to my list, and I am looking at future things I want to come out, right? So it's the beginning of the year, and I may be thinking to myself, oh, I want to create some new content. And so now I have this, my ongoing list, and I will write to my list. I'll send them something, and I would say, I would love to know how to continue to serve you, that I am going to do a open Q&A, office hours, comes for free, and then let me know what kind of future things would you like to have? How else can I serve you? What are the top five things, if I could teach you this year, that you would really be of value? And then you listen to all those things that people say, and then you go and create that.
When you talk about the list, give stuff to these people to encourage them to join this service and value that you're giving them. But I'm thinking that sometimes people are thinking at the back of their mind, okay, I'm getting this freebie, but sooner or later, like the hammer's going to drop, and she's going to ask me to fork up some big money for
something. Yeah.
Is there a way to like approach that, or is that a psychological issue?
I think for some people, that's probably because they've had a bad experience, right? And one of the things that I like to do is always be doing something of value. One of the reasons why people love to be on my e-zine is because I know that for me, a very, very big primary audience for me are speakers and authors, coaches. That is very, very big for me, and service-based entrepreneurs. And so they always want to know what's happening in the world, right? What's going on? And so I have a column on my newsletter that basically says, where all the events are. Like, so they don't need to go figure out what's going on, where are all these events. I actually do it, and then I put them there. I have people who I know for a fact, because I don't see them really always engage on other things, but I know that every single time they get my newsletter, they're clicking on all those things. That lets you know that, oh, they really want to know that. They see me as a resource. I've become a resource for them. I don't need to go do all this kind of stuff. Patty always tells us where all the things are, where we should go, what books we should read, all of those things. And I'll give you another example of that, too, from a social media standpoint, is LinkedIn. So I have over 15,000 first-year connections on LinkedIn. And how I did that is by being a resource. So, for example, when I connect with somebody, one of the things that I send them is I send them a welcoming, letter. I'm glad to have them in my network, and that I want to serve them. And if they are, and that it isn't just about me. It's always about building a network, right? And I always say, here are 10 people that if you were interested in the value that I bring, you may be interested in the value that they bring too. They're not opting into anything. I just give them a list of 10 really key quality people that they should connect to. Now, I have to tell you, I have a big list for this thing right here. It's in my Google Docs, and it has people in different industries. So it may be people who are in branding, in marketing, right, blogging. And so if I see what they do, and I know that's what they do, I can, you know, I'm a big girl, I can say, oh, wow, well, this is what they do. They'd probably be interested in this. And then I send them the next people that they should connect to. Now, I have to tell you, they love that because I'm serving them. I can't tell you how much the people that I tell them to connect to love me too. And I get literally hundreds every week of people saying, well, how could I get on that list so that you're telling people that they should connect me, right? And so hundreds of people will say to me, oh, I would really love to be part of that. But I don't just do it and pick names. It really are people that I really feel are a good resource for them. So I want to serve them that way. I only did the work once. I mean, I created the list of the top people that I felt comfortable, and I have my own criteria for that, and everybody's criteria will be different. But it's never just, oh, here, now you're connected to me. Oh, that's really great. It's all about how can I serve you? Here's some other people that I believe you should connect to, and they will be able to serve you as well. And people like that. It's a very simple thing to do.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Yep. That's absolutely brilliant. Patty, were you? Have you always been like this? Have you always been a networker and connector? I'm trying to picture you like in kindergarten. did you know everybody?
Actually, I have always been me. And actually, it's kind of funny because I'm a speaker, right? And 2 years ago, I wasn't. I've only been a speaker for 2 years, and now I'm an international speaker, and I go all over the world speaking. But what's really funny about that is when I was growing up, my parents used to pay me to be quiet. Patty, we'll give you $5 if you can be quiet for 30 minutes. And it's kind of funny that that's how I make my living right now, right? So.
Do you ever use, like, the social media to bring a whole, to do a little conference or something? Like, you'd use Twitter to, like, bring together a whole bunch of your people and give them a message or a chat or something?
Well, as I said earlier, 74% of my closed business, so closed business means money change hands, right? So closed business comes from Twitter. And I have done that without ever selling anything. So... and that's a big statement, I know. I don't use social media to sell. I use it to social sell. Social selling, which is building relationships. The selling never takes place on social media. So nobody ever thinks, oh, my gosh, I hate getting stuff from Patty that she's always selling. That never happens. However, 74% of my business comes from that. So Twitter, 140 characters, then you take it to where it needs to go. So then it may need to go to Facebook because that's where the relation building happens. You're not so limited to 140 characters. It may need to go to Pinterest. It may need to go to LinkedIn. So it's really, really important to know what to do with that. That's where the list building happens and the list segmentation happens. I could do a whole call with you on just how to segment your list so that you are always growing your list and then moving it from social media to your email list. It is really, really important to be able to know how to do that. And I'll give you one example using Facebook. So when you're on Facebook, every single person that you're connected to on Facebook, you should have a list. They should, you know how you can get that Dropbox and it'll say, would you like to add them to a list? I'm at right under 5,000 people. I have to work to make sure I don't hit my limit. Every single person that I am connected to is in a list at least by the state they live in, the closest city. So like for Texas, that would be Dallas, San Antonio, right, used in the big cities, right? I have that there. And then anything else. Are they a speaker? Are they an author? Are they in marketing? Whatever that case may be. The reason I do that, how many of you have ever got a post, you know, clutters up your stream, and what you're hearing are things that are happening in Wisconsin that you can't even attend anyway? Why are you even seeing this? It's not appropriate to you. So what happens to me is if I ever post something, I go, I put the post, and then I do the Dropbox. I hit the button custom, not just public or friends, and then I pick the list that I want to get it. So every time I post anything on social media, it is only going to the people that I feel it has value to. And here is how it has helped me build my business. For example, I am part of a, you know, I speak. Every time I go somewhere to speak, and I'll give you an example. Oh, my gosh, we're getting a fire alarm. How funny is that? I'm sorry. I hope you can't hear that in our hotel. Oh.
We can.
I'm sorry if you guys are hearing that. They're doing a test of the fire system. I am so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh, good. We don't have to evacuate. They're going away now. Sorry.
May I have your attention, please?
Can you believe that? Can I have your attention? What I'm going to say right now.
Live radio. It happens. We'll say happy birthday to Bill Schaefer again while it's happening. Maybe he's seeing to cover it up.
Oh, good. So sorry. There they go. I'm so sorry for
you.
Okay.
It's nothing you can control.
That's right. So here's what I'm going to say. So, for example, I was going to New York to speak at an event. So what I did was I posted one post that said, I'm going to be in New York speaking. I would love to get together. Oh, my goodness. I am really so sorry.
Awesome.
I guess maybe you need to wrap it up. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Attention.
Okay, so you got.
I'm wondering if I need to run out because the hotel's on fire.
Is it?
Oh, yes, they are making us leave the hotel.
Okay.
Okay, then.
All right, then. We are closed due to fire alarm.
Okay, but we got to get a big story somehow.
Go be safe. Yeah, go be safe. And we'll talk to you again, because I'd really like to have you on the show and finish up some of the things for lists and things like that. But for now, let's have you just go be safe.
I would love to be back.
All right?
Thank
you so much. Go be safe.
Bye now.
Thank you so much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, poor thing. I hope
she's
safe.
That's a first.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
What's so funny is that, you know, I'm just waiting for that story. Oh, come on. And keep on going away, so we'll hear it eventually.
Well, cliffhanger for the next time. See, she's really good at her job.
Yeah, you really set us up nicely.
Everybody join Patty's list.
Yeah,
you can hear the rest of her story.
Well, whatever.
Anyway, she's brilliant.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, it's not an accident that she's the networking CEO. I mean, she has an awesome grasp of this whole process. And like I said, I've heard a lot of different tips, and she's had some pearls here that are just brilliant. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I cringe sometimes when I see some of the stuff out there, because I even, when I do my, I call it a newsletter. I'll use that still until I come up with a better word now that she told me not to use that.
Right.
But, you know, for that, you know, I try to make that content really, really good, but I still feel kind of guilty hitting the send button in a way, because I hate clogging up people's emails with stuff. I just really... yeah, and I feel like it has value and everything, and I still feel like, I've gotten it to the point where I'd want to be on the receiving end of it, so I think that's how I kind of brushed it up and polished it a little bit, but,
Well, I think you are probably overreacting, because you do provide an incredible amount of service and information to people that they do want. I mean, it's not an accident that your list keeps growing. So, but I think that's the key of what Patty was saying is, it's not, you know, you don't have to feel bad about reaching out and establishing relationships, and if you are really caring about providing information, providing service, trying to promote the other person's business, trying to help them expand their LinkedIn stuff. So when you're doing that, you have nothing to feel like you don't deserve to do this, you know?
Yeah, and some of the stuff that she vocalized are things that I love to do, and I know you do also, and that's just constantly connect people to one another. I find such tremendous value in that. Nothing makes me happier when somebody says, hey, I've got somebody who does something similar to you or can help you, or I love that kind of stuff.
Years ago, I read the book, the Napoleon Hill, I think, Think and Grow Rich, and one of his principles, it wasn't about sales, it was about, it was giving stuff away, it was helping people, and when he helped people and provided service and attention to people, that's when they wanted to reciprocate and help back, and I think that's a key principle here.
Yeah, I do too. Well, good. Well, I look forward to having her on the show again, because I think that would be wise, even maybe a regular guest. I think people might really like that, because I know so many people just struggle on the internet for, is anybody like actually reading this or caring about it, or am I just right. into this like internet, you know, la-la land? And I think she really helps you focus on that. But I think that was really, don't you think it was cute about her in kindergarten? She's always been like this. So, yeah, I love that.
That was funny. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, all right, well, we've got to go, and I know you've got clients waiting. Are you going to be on the show Sunday night? Because
we've
got Robert.
There.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay, so everybody listening, really fast. We've got Robert Cagle from National Scouting Report, who's going to be on the show with us on Sunday night, January 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And he's going to do a show about college recruiting for football. And I hope you join in, because it's not all just about football. I love it when adults mentor and help and teach and help children fulfill their dreams. And that's really ultimately what the show is about. And there's always takeaways to listening to somebody like this to apply it to your field that you're in, whether it's football or something totally different. He is a really great guy. He's a former Ole Miss player who got injured, and it kind of ended his football career, and he was forced to take some different directions, and he's kind of come back and now helping kids get placed in college. And I love him. I love his wife, his family, his story, everything. Very inspirational guy.
Well,
so,
look forward
really
to it.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Okay. So, all right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Walter, for your time, and I'm glad you continue to feel better. It was nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks a lot. All right, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.